Coleman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, and we are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee, 5 o'clock on a Wednesday. Joe Rexroad back in town, finally, which means it's time for a little Jared versus Joe. Caroline Fenton is here with us. Hello, Caroline.
Hello. It's been a minute. How we doing?
It has been a minute, and we are doing outstanding. Apparently, we've lost Joe for some reason or another. But is this true? Caroline and I will be reunited this weekend for pretty much the entire weekend.
Woo-hoo!
On Sirius XM. Caroline, are you totally sure of what we're doing this weekend?
I don't have a clue.
So we're on College Sports Radio for CMA Fest, and we'll be interviewing people. But other than that, I couldn't tell you. But we're very excited about that.
And have a great time.
I mean, I'm very excited about it. So it'll be Caroline and I, and we will be on Channel 84 on Sirius XM. The times, I think it's 11 o'clock tomorrow, and we'll be on throughout the rest of the weekend celebrating CMA Fest. Joseph Robinette Rexroad Jr. is with us, and with that, it's time for Jared versus Joe. So apparently Joe said that his phone dropped again. He said the call went dead on me again. So we're going to call Joe from another line. As that entire thing was going through, I do want to tell the fine folks out there that Jared versus Joe is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville and First Horizon Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. So, Caroline, you might as well just start the first one with me, and then we will get Joe's side of the argument.
What kind of phone do we think Joe has? Flip phone?
It might be on
like
us.
Like a wireless?
I did have Reed calling from a different line. Joseph, are you there? Joe?
No.
Hey, no? I'm just sitting here, man. I don't know what's going on, but I keep getting hung up on.
Maybe we're doing it for fun, but we're not. Okay, Caroline, go.
Okay, Jared, you go first. First question is, how bad is it really that Jeffrey Simmons is not at OTAs?
I think it's bad. I mean, is it like the end of the world that, oh, now the Titans, which I thought were going to be a 5-win team, are now going to be a 2-win team? No, it's not. But do I think it is a sign that this guy that the Titans have propped up over the last couple of years to say, this is our leader, the self-appointed team spokesperson, Jeffrey Simmons, is kind of a phony. And not only that, I don't think there's anybody in that building that will push back on Jeffrey Simmons. There certainly hasn't been anybody in the building over the last couple of years that's pushed back on Jeffrey Simmons. And now he's just saying, after Brian Callahan spent a week telling us how important singing Kumbaya was going to be for the development of this football team, how it's going to be these eight separate teams with the teamwork and the leadership development, how that was going to play a big role in the team winning games in September and October and November. And Jeffrey Simmons is just saying, yeah, I don't care about any of that. That is an indictment of the coach, not about the coach's leadership, but it is an indictment of what Simmons clearly thinks of the coach. And I am fascinated by what his explanation will be next week, because it's voluntary is not good enough. So I think that this is absolutely a train wreck for the Titans, and I think it's an embarrassment for Brian Callahan, especially considering who the last coach was, and that you know that this would not have been okay with Mike Vrabel as the coach.
So you went from, oh, I think it's a big deal, but, you know, not that big deal, too. It's a train wreck. Yeah, I don't think it's no deal. I think it's not a good thing for Jeffrey Simmons trying to, again, claiming to be a leader and a great player. I think it's a bad thing for Brian Callahan with his leadership exercises he's doing to not have one of the main guys. I will say, you brought in Vrabel, and I am genuinely asking this, but I'm pretty sure the answer is, yeah. I mean, there were some people who get voluntaries during the Vrabel era, right? I believe Danico Autry did once. I mean, there were guys who were key guys who skipped voluntaries, right,
so,
during Vrabel.
I think the guys
didn't melt down.
I think the guys that, like, skipped them all were Nate Davis skipped them all, and we know Vrabel hated Nate Davis. And then Kevin Dodd skipped him, and we played the cut of how Vrabel basically kicked Kevin Dodd off the team for skipping OTAs. And then, like, Kevin Byard missed OTAs, but that was a contract dispute, And, like, as a former player and member of the union, I think Vrabel understood the context of that. Whereas this is Jeffrey Simmons, who is in town, by the way, from what I've been told. Jeffrey Simmons just saying, yeah, nah, I don't feel like coming. And that would not have set well with Vrabel.
Yeah, it's weak. It's like if it really matters to you, yeah, I understand, you know, a wonderful video of Jeff working out. But if it really matters to you to try to turn this around, if last year really made you sick and you're about winning, then you should want to spend this time in there trying to figure it out with your teammates, trying to figure it out with the people you're going to be on the field with. And so, yeah, I don't think it's a good look. Again, like a lot of things that happen in June, we end up not even, like Simmons could end up having a great year. And, you know, I don't know that we're really going to care about this. And, you know, training camp is what really matters. And, you know, they'll have obviously mandatory minicamp coming up. But I don't think it's a good look. And I agree that, like, for Callahan, it's not good because he's trying to shake things up, turn things around, and it's hard to do what he's trying to do without one of the really key guys who has no reason to not be there.
So I don't think it really matters, you know, when I was talking about the winning and losing, because I think this team sucks and they're going to suck no matter what. And I thought when Brian Callahan got up there and told us about, well, you know, this year we're going to separate into 8 teams. So if you throw an interception, -3 points. And if you get an interception, +3 points. Like, I thought that whole thing was stupid to begin with. But if that's the route he chose to go, like, I think he chose that route over the making real big changes to the organization and the way he does business, because I just think that Callahan's too nice. I don't think Callahan can hold anybody accountable. But if this is going to be the way that you're going to dig yourself out of this hole, then you need everybody to buy in, especially probably the highest paid or one of the highest paid players on the team. And Jeffrey Simmons is clearly not bought in if he's doing the exact opposite of what Brian Callahan says is important. But again, like, the difference between how many games they'll win because Simmons isn't there, I think is negligible, because I think this team sucks anyways. And I think Callahan's plan is foolish. But if that's the plan, it would be nice to get the players on board with the plan, if that makes any sense.
Yes, I'm glad you could tack on the word sucks a couple times. I know it's hard to go like 5 minutes without saying
that. But do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, again, you're like, well, you're saying it doesn't really matter, but it does matter. Well, it matters in principle to me that one of the highest paid players and one of the most visible players on the team, a guy the team has propped up for years as this is our leader, the fact that he is like, screw the coach's program, is not a good sign. That doesn't mean that I think the coach's program is going to make a difference, because I don't. But I do think that as far as like Simmons basically saying, oh, no thank you to the program, that's a big deal.
Yeah, we mostly agree on this.
Caroline, what's next?
Okay, Joe, you go first. How should Brian Callahan react whenever inevitably it is going to be asked by someone, whenever Jeffrey Simmons comes back, that, hey, OTAs, it's voluntary, I don't have to be there? How do you think Brian Callahan should react to the it's voluntary reaction that we are inevitably going to get?
Okay, you got to help me on this one. So wait, when he's asked about Simmons, how should he answer?
So when Jeffrey Simmons is asked about why he wasn't there and he says it's voluntary, how should Brian Callahan react?
I don't know that Brian, I mean, I don't know that it helps Brian Callahan publicly to do anything. It is voluntary. So, you know, I think it's disappointing if you're Brian Callahan. And to me, it's like you sock that away. Like, well, this guy says he's about it, but he's not here. But I mean, if you're referring to like discipline for him, you know, I would say, yeah, I mean, first of all, I don't think you can even do that. I don't know if that's what you mean, but if you mean just like publicly how he should react, yeah, I don't think it helps him to turn this into a thing. To me, you want this to be as little of a thing as possible, because you badly need Jeff Simmons to have a bounce back year, to be one of your key players. Yeah, to be a leader of some kind. I mean, look, I agree with Jared and others who say, you know, this team, one of the issues, one of many issues for this team is that it has had such a leadership drain in the last couple of years, and he's not the guy to step up, you know, on the front line of that and fill it. But he still has to be some kind of leader for you. He has to be. And he has to be one of your best players. So you got to hope that he has been working his butt off, that those awesome videos of him working out represent just absolutely ab-shredding workouts, and that he's at least ready to be a pro and come in and play. I wouldn't indulge it much at all. You have to move forward and try to be pros.
I think the days of Brian Callahan filing this away for later are over, and I think there needs to be some action taken. Now, Joe's right. Brian Callahan can't publicly come out and say, well, he missed the voluntary OTAs, so we're going to fine him. You can't do that. The collective bargaining agreement doesn't let you. In fact, the collective bargaining agreement doesn't even let the coaches publicly reprimand guys who miss the voluntary workouts that we know really aren't all that voluntary. But here's what I would do if I were Brian Callahan, and I said this last week, which was I would strip Simmons of the captaincy. I would say in September or whenever he wants to announce it that this year I've decided instead of the players voting on the captains, I'm picking the captains. And our captains are going to be Cam Ward, Tony Pollard, Calvin Ridley, pick one of the offensive linemen, I mean, Lloyd Cushenberry, whomever, Amani Hooker.
Why Calvin Ridley?
Well,
what?
Again, I'm just saying whoever the hell the captains are, Joe, it's going to be okay. All these guys and Sebastian Joseph Day and not Jeffrey Simmons. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Because every time Simmons has challenged Callahan, we've seen Callahan basically kind of back into the corner. And I think this is another Simmons challenging Callahan thing. So how are you going to be able to hold anybody accountable if Jeffrey Simmons is testing you constantly and every time he does, you kowtow to him? So I think this is a big crossroads for Brian Callahan. And my biggest knock on him, I think Callahan is a good man. I am not convinced he's a good coach. And what I am worried about when it comes specifically to Brian Callahan is that he cannot hold guys accountable. And when you get up there and you say, hey, this transformative offseason leadership program is going to be what helps us, and Jeffrey Simmons says he doesn't give a rat's ass about that, you've got a problem. So agree, he can't do really anything in terms of punishing Simmons publicly for missing OTAs, but I would not name Jeffrey Simmons a captain for the 2025 season, and I would make sure that everybody in the media knew it was me who was making that choice and not the players.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the reasons he's doing this thing he's doing, putting different people together, is to have a better, to give guys a better sense for who their leaders are. And if I'm a coach of a team in college or the NFL, I want my players voting for the captains. Especially because, you know, it needs to be an anonymous vote. But I want the guys on the team to have the voice of who are going to be the captains of the team. So I wouldn't do that at all. I hear you on him holding people accountable, but, you know, doing the malarkey, stripping Lawan of the captaincy. And, you know, first of all, I think Lawan back then, there were more obvious reasons to take that away from him at that point.
Oh, Simmons has definitely given his reasons for not being a captain. I mean, weren't here when that happened.
I was here the next year when Lawan never should have had a C anywhere near him because he was doing all the stupid crap to lose games, you know, and just completely losing his cool on the field.
Simmons does the same thing.
Too. Simmons has done some of that stuff, but he was not what Lawan was 10 years ago. Come on.
Simmons has been absolutely propped up.
I want players picking my captains, so I'm not doing what you said.
Floyd used to tell me that he would let the players vote on the captains, and he would count the votes. That's what he used to tell me, right, which was translation for if there was somebody that I didn't want to be captain who was voted captain, they weren't going to be captain, which is what I thought at first Callahan should do, is he should count the votes and not count the votes for Simmons. But I've decided, no, Callahan has to push back on Simmons. Callahan, I do not think Callahan has – I'm just going to be honest. I like Callahan. I don't think he has the balls to be a head coach. I'm just going to say it. I don't think he has the scrotum to be a head coach.
All right. You don't have to use that word.
And yeah. I would yeah. like him.
Jared loves talking about male genitalia. Man.
I would like him to prove me wrong. I would like
Does
to be
an
proven
internal
wrong.
Scrotum? Is that an internal or external scrotum?
Isn't like an internal scrotum? Isn't that like a hermaphrodite?
Dude,
I didn't know you could have one inside.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
I think that's
Jared talked about internal stiffy, so that's why I'm, you know, or whatever word that he got bleeped out that hopefully he didn't have to pay too big of a fine to the FCC.
Yeah, I don't think that's when you have to do that there. But regardless, I don't think Brian Callahan has the scruples to be a head coach. And I just, in a year and a half,
scruples.
I have not seen him hold anybody accountable. I haven't seen him hold one person accountable.
Well, how are you going to see it?
Again, have you seen Mike Vrabel hold people accountable? I watched Mike Vrabel basically fire Jamarco Jones on the spot.
Yeah, but Vrabel, you know, when you say you haven't seen it, I mean, there's still 90, even if you're out there like the beat writers every day, there's 90% of the stuff is behind closed doors.
Okay, well, I'd like to see 10% of it. In the 10%, I'd like to see him hold somebody accountable. I mean, he fired one coach off of the staff last year. It was the special teams coach who should have been fired in the middle of the season, whom he constantly defended. And again, even that change was made absolutely kicking and screaming. He just can't hold people accountable. Will Levis has a bad day at practice, and he would get up there and say it was Denard's defense. He just can't do it. He's too nice. He's too nice to be the coach.
Well, I also think we need to start talking about how Jeffrey Simmons isn't actually a leader on this team.
Oh, we have been talking about that.
We've had this conversation every single year since I joined the station in 2021 of Jeffrey Simmons doing something stupid and embarrassing or whining on social media or not showing up or unfollowing the mascot on Instagram. Like, just because he's a good player doesn't mean he's a leader. He's clearly not a leader on this team.
Well, I mean, hey, Rand was up there last year in the booth talking about how Jeffrey Simmons went up to him and said, thank you for fixing the right side of the line. So, you know, who's to say that, you know, they used to think it, maybe they don't. But I don't think you're taking the toothpaste and putting it back in the tube of, okay, Simmons, now you go back to not being a leader. I mean, that I should see, though. More Jared versus Joe next. Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game. Time for more Jared versus Joe. Caroline, the floor is yours.
All right, Jared, you go first. Has Tennessee baseball, after advancing to the Supers and Vandy getting that butt whooped as the number one overall seed, has Tennessee baseball reclaimed the top baseball team in the state title from Vandy?
First of all, I would like to say, just first and foremost, it was wonderful to see Joe at the ballpark this past weekend at the Vanderbilt Regional. But I was very disappointed, Caroline, that Joe, who is a national college writer for The Athletic, not a Vanderbilt writer, not a local writer, but a national writer, did not stay for the regional championship game.
Shame.
I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Yeah, it was great to get to sleep earlier that night. Yeah, if Louisville does something here, we'll keep an eye on them. You know,
you should be driving up there this weekend and covering that series as a national writer for The Athletic for a scholar for a subscription I pay for. But more importantly, no, the Super Regionals. Here's the thing about the Super Regionals, and I'm not knocking Tennessee because it's great for them that they've been to five straight Super Regionals. But the Tennessee fans came out of the woodwork over the weekend and on Monday night, be like, we're in the Supers. This is our state. That does not erase the fact that Vanderbilt has two national championships, took you 3-1 this year, and spanked your rear end in the SEC tournament 10-0. The Super Regional is great. I'm not knocking it. But if you're an elite program, and at this point in time, Tennessee is an elite program, the Super Regional really just isn't that big of a deal. Like, I root for a team that I would say is an elite college baseball program. And Tennessee is more of an elite college program than Louisville is because they've won a national title and we haven't. But, like, the Super Regional is great, but we don't sit there and say, oh, yeah, remember when we went to that Super Regional? I don't even think we put up banners for the Super Regional. Caroline, you went to a school that is an elite baseball program. Do you really look back at the Super Regional and say, oh, yeah, remember when we made the Super Regional? So I think if Tennessee gets to Omaha, then they take that top spot back from Vanderbilt. It is a shame that Vanderbilt has not made a super regional in the last 4 years, and it is incredibly embarrassing. But I think they have to do that before they get the top spot back, which they lost by losing 2 out of 3 at home and getting spanked 10-0 in the SEC tournament.
What are
Can I ask you a question?
About?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Is this because you just hate Tennessee baseball?
No. I mean, again, I don't.
And look, like, it's easy to hate Tennessee baseball. Here. Like, let's be clear.
I'm happy that Louisville's in the Super Regionals. But it's not like, again, I'm sitting there saying, like, oh, we made it to the Super Regionals. If you're an elite program, this is the Sweet 16 of baseball. If you're an elite program, you don't hang a Sweet 16 banner in your gym. They don't have Sweet 16 banners at Kentucky. So, like, that's how I feel about the Super Regional.
Right. Jared, Tennessee is the defending national champion. They've dominated Vanderbilt for several years. They're in their fifth straight Super Regional. Vanderbilt has not been there in 4 straight years. They didn't take anything back in the first place. What are you talking about?
Oh, they took the top spot back when they took 2 out of 3 in Knoxville and beat them 10-0 in Hoover. To me, they took the top spot back.
So again, the last few years when Tennessee has outperformed them in every way as the defending national champ, having beat them every other year since 2022, they've been dominant. So 22, 23, 24, complete domination for Tennessee. Those 3 years, 5 straight to the second weekend, only one of those years did they not go to Omaha. They're the defending national champ, and Vanderbilt, which, yes, did win a national championship in 14 and 19, you're saying this makes no sense whatsoever.
So I believe I believe that Tennessee's, like, Tennessee, their national championship last year, like, you're talking about them being the defending champs. To me, that's over. You know, that was last year. So their championship is the same as Vanderbilt's, too.
14 and 19, what if the Vanderbilt's titles in 14 and 19 matter more then? Why do those matter?
Because there are two of them.
Oh, okay.
There are two championships.
Ridiculous. Do you count University of Tennessee football's national championship from like 1952?
First of all, it was 1951, and the Sagarin rankings actually say that Kentucky was the national champion. But they count it. I mean, Alabama counts like
40. Of course they count it.
I was going to say, Alabama counts like 47 national titles that are disputed where other teams count a national title too. Sure, I count 51's championship for Tennessee, the one that Kentucky also claims. Well, I mean, Kentucky claims it as a national championship. Bear Bryant was their coach. How am I supposed to know?
Completely lopsided, Jared. Jared, this has been completely lopsided. So 1 year you get a 2 out of 3 for Vandy, and they kick their butt in one game in the SEC tournament, and that flips it?
So I do not believe that Tennessee had overtaken Vanderbilt until Tennessee won the national title last year. At that point,
that 2 out of 3 takes it away, though.
The 2 out of 3 and the 10-0, the 3 out of 1 to me was a legitimate counterpunch back by Vanderbilt. You know, winning in the rivalry matters. And just getting to the Super Regional doesn't undo that. Getting to Omaha, which is the standard for an elite program in college baseball, getting to Omaha would undo that, and I would give it back to Tennessee.
And again, it's been since 21 that Vanderbilt's even gotten to the second weekend. So you're right. Tennessee wouldn't put banners up for getting to this level, but consistently they do every single year, while Vanderbilt consistently doesn't every single year. This is a ridiculous argument.
Not only that, Vanderbilt has won 2 of the last 3 SEC titles. I mean, that has to count for something in a rivalry
SEC
where both teams are in
titles? SEC tournament titles.
Yes, where both teams are in the SEC.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Let me just say
this. SEC tournament.
I went to a university that is one of the historically greatest baseball programs in the history of this sport. We have not won an SEC tournament since 2017, and nobody cares.
Where would you put
LSU?
We've been
to 2 College World Series since then, and we have won 1. That's what matters.
Where would you put LSU in terms of the Pantheon overall? Like, would you put them number 2 behind Texas?
Well, we've won the second most national titles behind USC above Texas.
USC has the most baseball titles?
And they haven't won since like the early 2000s.
Eight in a row a long time ago.
Oh, so it was like a John Wooden thing there. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's indisputable to say that LSU is top three.
Yeah, for sure. And I would say Texas, like for all those years that they had Augie there, they won a bunch. And I don't know what happened to Schlossnagel in his regional, but he got his rear end kicked.
I'm glad Schlossnagel got his rear end kicked. He deserves that.
I do too. I still think, though, Vanderbilt has a top spot. And what Caroline's referencing right here is she's like, well, we have the second most national titles, period. Vanderbilt has more national titles, and Vanderbilt has won more recently against Tennessee. Tennessee has to do more than get to a super regional in order to take the top spot.
So what's the record between Vanderbilt and Tennessee in the last four seasons?
Why do I care what the record is in the last four seasons? Why are you giving this arbitrary time frame?
Because, Jared, this is the time frame of domination of Tennessee.
It's not domination when you get beat 10-0 and you lose 3 out of 1. Or excuse me, 3 out of 4. God.
So the 3 out of 4, that just erases what happened the last three seasons, which was embarrassing for Vanderbilt, which, again, goes in tandem with a huge difference in overall performance, which, again, also goes in tandem with Tennessee just won the national championship. What are you talking about?
Again, that was last year. You want to talk about last year? Go back to last year. But I'm talking about overall of the rivalry.
The SEC tournament.
Tennessee right now is a step behind Vandy. If they win 2 out of 3 this weekend, and I don't think they're going to.
The SEC tournament.
But again, 2 out of 3 this weekend against Arkansas, and they'll take the top spot back. Now, I don't think they're going to win 2 out of 3 against Arkansas this weekend, but if they do, then they get the top spot back. That's just how I feel about it. Caroline, what's next?
All right, I'd like to hear this perspective from our Tennessee Arkansas this weekend is what Dylan called the national championship. So enjoy that. I would like to hear from our basketball Benny Joe Rexroad. Does the NBA need big time markets in the NBA finals?
No,
not Indiana and Oklahoma City.
Yeah, no one, like when LeBron was with Cleveland, who give a – oh, Cleveland? What a terrible market. I mean, again, does the NFL need, like, a better market than Kansas City? No, they have Patrick Mahomes. No,
yeah, there's no Patrick Mahomes or LeBron James in the series.
Right, but my point is it's not about the market.
SGA is the reigning MVP.
Yeah, but he's not LeBron James.
And he's great. No, exactly. He's a great player, but he doesn't have that star power. So, I mean, look, I'm sure that the ratings – will not be great for this, but I think that's more about the lack of star power among the players and the lack of excitement about these teams than it is about what cities they play in. And we have great players all the times in various sizes of markets. And so is it better if you're a TV exec? Would you rather have LA versus New York? Sure. Absolutely. But you really would, if it was LA versus New York, Or let's see, like New York, Chicago, or you could choose, even like Luka. Let's say he was still with Dallas. You would take Luka. You would take the star player. You take Steph Curry. I understand it's not like San Fran's not a big market, but it's about the players, and that is where I think the ratings won't be great. I'm excited for it because SGA is amazing, and he's a worthy MVP, and Halliburton is, a tremendous – efficient, if not flashy player. I think it'll be hopefully a good series. I think another problem with this series, though, is I think Oklahoma City is going to win in 5 and probably blow them out in 3 of those 4 wins.
It's kind of crazy. Like, I'm just kind of looking at the previous viewership and things of that magnitude. In 95, when the Houston Rockets played the Orlando Magic, which is off the top of my head, where we didn't have, Hakeem, yes, but, and I guess Shaq, but we didn't have
Shaq was a big star.
We didn't have, that kind of superstar type player, although Hakeem and Shaq were pretty big time at that point. Look at, the viewers for that final, and they actually had more viewers in the 95 NBA finals than they did in the 94, which ended up going 7 games and included the O.J. Simpson Bronco chase, which I find fascinating. I'm actually going to say, yes, the NBA needs better markets. But this, it's not like I'm saying, hey, the NBA should cook the books the way they did with Tim Donaghy and get the Lakers into the finals or get the Knicks into the finals over Indiana by sending Scott Foster into ref it. I think that would have been terrible for the sport. But the NBA has done a massive disservice to itself. And I think it's easy to blame Adam Silver, and he certainly is guilty of something. But I don't know exactly what it is. But the level, like, they're going to get horrible ratings for this series. And I almost wonder if they're going to get horrible ratings because they've turned off so many people who love basketball just with all the minutiae and the bullcrap that the NBA has tried to shove down our throats for the last 20 years. You know, I'm not one of these people that sits there and says, like, oh, the NBA went woke and that's why it stinks, because that's not why it stinks. But the NBA does kind of stink. I'm not excited for this series. I'm not excited in the least for this series. And I'd like to think that I really do like basketball. So I think the game is boring.
You don't like basketball and you like to cry about everything.
I like basketball. Other than that, great point. But it's just, the games are long. It's kind of boring. It just, I'm sorry. Like, I think the NBA, and even last year's ratings weren't very good, you know, with Boston and Luka in them. So I think the NBA is going to get bad ratings, and I think the only thing that could really save the NBA is something like, you know, a big star or a big market, like when the Chicago Cubs play in the World Series. And I think it's bad for the NBA. So, I mean, again, I saw Adam Silver, you know, crapping on Pittsburgh versus Green Bay in the Super Bowl today, saying people would say that's a good matchup. I do not think people feel that way about the Pacers in Oklahoma City. Caroline, who wins this week?
Joe wins this week. Tennessee is absolutely the better program right now. All time, you can argue Vanderbilt. Fine, they have more national championships, but right now it's Tennessee. And I do agree with Joe and your Jeffrey Simmons, you know, being stripped of his captaincy take. It needs to be the team. It needs to be the locker room. Because if you give Sebastian Joseph Day captaincy, well, that just makes things awkward for Sebastian Joseph Day.
All I'll say is the players voted and I counted the votes.
All I'm gonna say is that Robbie's got a rant already like lined up because of your take on Vanderbilt Tennessee baseball. So get ready tomorrow.
Oh, I stand by it. I stand by it.
It's a terrible take.
I stand by it.
Of course,
take.
Robbie has that opinion. Robbie's a Tennessee fan,
and this is by somebody who thought Vanderbilt
Tennessee fan though.
Yeah, this is from somebody who thinks Vanderbilt totally crapped their pants this past weekend, and that Tim Corbin made a terrible decision with his pitching staff and looked like a total a-hole for the way he answered that question with Aria Gerson after the game on Saturday night. And I still think they're ahead of Tennessee.
Yikes.
Ladies, gentlemen, thank you so much. Jared versus Joe. Speaking of
tomorrow.
The NBA. Yes, see you tomorrow. Speaking of the NBA, there is something that I just have got to get off my chest. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
The Knicks firing their head coach, Tom Thibodeau, after they fell short in the Eastern Conference Finals to those Pacers. He led them to the playoffs in four of his five seasons, took them to the Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years, but that title drought is longer. It's 52 years. So this story comes across your news feed, and what are you thinking?
It's a damn shame. A damn shame. Tom Thibodeau did not deserve to lose his job. Tom Thibodeau was not the one in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals that smoked the double-digit lead at the crib in the fourth quarter. He was not on the floor to smoke that. That was on the players. Tom Thibodeau wasn't a defensive liability on the floor like Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns, it's not on Tom Thibodeau that you allow Rick Carlisle to put Pascal Siakam on you and guard you in the low block and be successful at it. It is not on Tom Thibodeau that Jalen Brunson outside of game five was scored on 68% of the time. That's not on coaching. And I think it's bad for the league. It sends a bad message when you got two teams in the NBA Finals right now that is a perfect example of what it looks like when the general manager in the front office runs the organization and not the players.
Okay, so I'm not exactly Mr. NBA over here. And I was stunned yesterday when I was on the midday show and Adam was like, breaking news, Tom Thibodeau's fired. And I'm like, really? They fired Tom Thibodeau? But does this not go back to the rant I had to open the show last Thursday when I said sports fans are too entitled? So help me understand something here. The New York Knicks have been awful for, what, the last 20 years? They won the Eastern Conference the first year Jordan was retired in 99 with Patrick Ewing and Grandmama and all of that. I think I did that right, the little LJ for Larry Johnson. But again, they haven't mattered since then. The only reason anybody pays any attention to the Knicks is because they're in New York. So they're a famous team, but they're not actually good. They're like the Dallas Cowboys on steroids. But at least the Cowboys actually have some seasons where they've mattered. Not mattered enough, but where they've mattered. And so Tom Thibodeau, again, not Mr. NBA over here, not monitoring the day-to-day of the Knicks, but he wins 50 games in back-to-back seasons for the first time since the Knicks really were something in the early 90s. He gets to game six of the conference finals. And that's not good enough? That's not good enough. What planet are we living in? And this reminds me of something that Shannon Sharp asked Snoop Dogg one time. He said, why can't Brian Billick, who was a good head coach, as much as it pained me when he was winning games for the Ravens, he was a good head coach. And Shannon Sharp said, why can't he get an interview? And we have all these bad coaches out there. And Snoop Dogg said, because he knows how to win. And apparently, as Snoop Dogg would say, they like coaches that like to lose. And then brought up Marvin Lewis. Again, this guy won 50 games 2 years in a row, got to the conference final, lost in game six, and they fired him? But Jared, did you see the substitution choices in game one? That's why you fired the coach? Again, sports entitlement. It's like rich people. Every time my stock goes up by $5, I wish it went up by 10. The Knicks haven't been relevant for basketball reasons in 20 years. They get relevant, don't win, fire the coach. I mean, it's a joke. And yet then we get coaches like Brian Callahan that win three games and keep their job. I don't get it. I just don't get sports anymore. People cannot be objective about their own teams. It is really disheartening. Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company, I just want to get my Stanley Cup final prediction out there for the people to hear. Florida in six. So I am excited for the Cup final for the rematch again. I'm taking the Panthers in six. That's it for us. Stillman & Company, we'll see everybody tomorrow too.